What's good? You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Hey, that's perfect. That's perfect. Finally, bro. Finally.
Right? After all this time, man.
I know, man.
So moving forward, you know what I mean? Hit me whenever, bro.
Man, hey, before we get started, bro, I appreciate you just coming on. You just, you know, showing me love continuously, bro. Like, we don't even know each other for real like that. And for you to just, you know, hop on my platform and just show me that support, it means everything to me for real.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's love, bro. Like, you know, people, you know, this business is, you know, it's not many of us. So anytime I see somebody and I can, you know, try to help out as much as I can or whatever, I'm always with it, especially for another brother who, you know, I know you, like you said, we don't know each other like that, but I know you probably came from a similar background as me, so.
Yes, sir.
I got you, bro.
Yeah, most definitely. And anything, I know I ain't as plugged in as you, but anything you need from me, man, hey, let me know. Most definitely.
No doubt.
And motor cash. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers a throwaway. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know the way. Cause I took control of things. Ballin' the solo way. And if you pattern my trend, I make you my protege. Slossin' that soldier race. Niggas don't know them days. Take you in back of the buildings. Make you expose your rage. Take you across the tracks. Make you explode the face. Now you official now. But you got a soul to save. I just been cooking that new. I'm about to drop in a few. Think if I call it the great, the people gon' call it the truth. I ain't really trip on the credit. I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game. Now my name all in the news. Trippin' on all of my moves. Quote me on this, got a lot more to prove. Remember I came in this bitch, fresh out the county with nothing to lose.
Don't do this for nothing, no. Wanna count on you, but I don't do this shit for nothing. No. Not at all, you. My money real, money real. That you do.
Introduce myself, everybody. This is C Dub, you know, coming back at y'all with another episode of Opinionated Facts. And we here with a special guest, you know, someone who is very plugged into the NBA scene, who's a journalist, who's worked for Sacramento Observer, who's worked for the Sideline Sources, some platforms on Instagram and other entities, and who's covered and who's still covering the Sacramento Kings. I want to introduce the one and only Mark Haynes. What's up, bro? And how are you feeling today?
See, Dub, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm feeling good, man. We got a little rain out here in Sacramento or whatever, but I stayed dry. I'm feeling good, bro. I'm happy to be here talking with you, man.
Man, it's most definitely love to have you, and I've been following you for quite some time, man, and I just want to get started and let you introduce yourself and who you are, where you came from. Give us a little background about yourself.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, as you said, I'm Mark Haynes. I'm from a city called Fresno here in California. Born and raised. I've been in Sacramento for, you know, a little over a decade or whatever. And I'm an old, how would I say it? I'm not a rookie in the game or whatever, but I'm like that old rookie. I got started in sports journalism late. I believe I was 34 when I started. So I'm just
shit. I just turned 34. So I know how it is. Thank you.
So it, you know, one part of my story, man, is it's never too late to get started, man. You know, I came in 34 years old. I might have been 35, but I think I was 34. And I, you know, as you know, my brother is Chris Haynes, who he's been in the game, you know, for over a decade. And he even got a late start as well. He started in his 30s. So, you know, that's a part of, you know, both our stories or whatever is like, you know, you look at your situation and the way, you know, life is for you today, you know, whether you have a 9-to-5 or whether you're unemployed, whatever, you know, it's never too late to start chasing a dream. And, you know, anything is possible once you start, you know, going after it, you know, keep God first and just moving your, you know, move how your spirit wants you to move.
Exactly. And that's what I kind of, you know, gravitated towards you for, you know, the authenticity, bro. Like, you just seem very authentic in your approach and the way you even interview NBA players. And so, like you said, you know, before we even got started, you said, you know, it seemed like we came from similar backgrounds that we have. Just myself, you know, I had a late start into it. You know, I was, you know, doing some content creation, still doing that here and there. But, I see guys like you. I see guys like your brother Chris. And I see, you know, other people that I look up to. And it's like, man, I really want to take this to the next level. So let me ask you this. How did you even get started in this, though? Like, journalism, coming from California, coming from Fresno, how did you even get started in it? I know your brother does it, and like you said, he's been doing it for a decade, but what made you really say, you know, I really want to do this? I want to cover the NBA.
You know, it was like, it's interesting because I was reluctant to starting to write. I didn't want to write at all. And for years, I podcasted. I started, you know, with a podcast with Chris. Then I branched off and created my own podcast with one of my childhood friends, Chris Perry. Shout out to him. And we did some things, and we, you know, we did well. We got ranked in the Apple Podcasts and, you know, all that independently. But I would send in requests because, like I said, I live in Sacramento. I would send in requests for, like, a credential so I could attend certain games and stuff. And I would get denied every single time. And I could tell.
That I know that were, feeling.
I could tell they basically had a message set, not just for me, but for people they turned down where they just copy and paste it. So it's the same thing. You know, I started off with this elaborate, you know, telling them who I am, telling them who I'm related to and what I've done, the players I've interviewed. And then it's like, sorry, Mark Haynes, we don't have, you know, we don't have room and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you see on TV, and this is when the Kings are not good. So I know it's plenty of room. but I just kept getting a no. And meanwhile, Chris has been telling me for a while at this point, like, yo, you should get into writing, start writing. And I don't have a writing background. So it's like, man, I don't really want to do it. I just want to talk sports. I want to do, like, you know, I want to maybe get into radio or, you know, so, like, I don't
know.
Yep.
You
know what I'm saying? And so I was real reluctant until Rasan Gathers, who's a PR guy, he told me, he was like, hey, bro, he was like, you know, I see your emails, but he was like, you know, we can't just credential podcasters. Like, we will here and there, but he was like, it's very slim. He was like, you should get into writing. He was like, if you start writing, people will start respecting what you do. So that was kind of the turning point to where I was like, all right, man, who do I start a blog? Do I start, you know, whatever? And at this time, I was working with Clutch Points at this time. And I was, you know, I'm convinced, like, you know, I got to figure out how to get it writing. You know, I'm not making money through my podcast, and it's not growing at the pace I want it to grow at and things like that. So I was basically going to walk away. I was going to quit and, you know, just work on figuring out how to start writing or whatever. Then they presented me with an opportunity to, like, that's like, well, we could teach you how to write if you're interested in writing, and we could pay you through writing. And it was like,
so hold on, not to interrupt you, but who came to you with this suggestion, or who said, you know, we can teach you how to write?
This was his name is Nish Patel. He's the owner of Clutch Points. Mm-hmm. And my podcast was under their platform after a while. We started off independent. Yeah, I guess I skipped past that. We started off independent, and then they reached out, a guy named Frank Smith, who's a content creator. He reached out like, hey, you know, would you be interested in letting, you know, us at Clutch Points, you know, promote your pod, and we could, you know, partner with it and, you know, split revenue shares and things like that. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, get my content out in front of more people. And I did that for about a year before I, you know, made up my mind. I was, you know, this not working.
Right.
And that's when, you know, they presented me with the idea of like, there's like, well, we could teach you how to write. And there's like, but we don't want you to cover we don't want you to cover Sacramento. There's just like the Golden State is a bigger market.
Okay.
And the Bay is like, without traffic, the Bay is about an hour and a half from Sacramento. So then my next decision was like, I have to commit to driving out there, you know, every game or whatever, and, you know, and driving back. And meanwhile, at the same time, I'm working a 9-to-5. I'm a truck driver. So I'm working, and then as soon as I get off work, I got to drive out there. Whatever. So I'm
grinding.
It was rough. And then, you know, it was just a part of getting started. And from there, I started developing my skills as a writer. And I'm still developing as a writer. I don't by means think I'm the best, but I'm improved so much from my first article, which was it was intimidating.
What was intimidating about it?
Like, at this point, I haven't wrote anything on paper probably in, you know, 10 years since high school at this point, right? So, like, I haven't had to type or anything. Like, it's just, you know, when you work a 9-to-5, for the most part, you fill out an application.
And that's
sign
it,
sign your
bro.
Name, yeah. You write your name, and put the date. That's it. I'm never thought about structure of writing and leads and all that. So I'm, you know, they throwing all this stuff at me like, all right, you want to start off with a good lead and you want to get into it. You want to get on a news or you want to get straight into it. 250 words. I'm counting the words as a you shouldn't do.
Counting every little punctuation.
Do not count the words, bro. That's what I did. And it was ugly. I don't even remember. And then my editor called me to help me like go over like changes. And it was literally like, the whole damn article was like wrong. so we worked on and we got it presentable, but it started as you just keep going, like any job, any 9-to-5, any class you take, you know, any sport you decide to play, you start off, you're trash.
Right. And, facts.
You know, so that was the intimidating part. It was like, dang, I have to, you know, I'm 34 years old and I have to go through the embarrassment of my editor being 25 or something, young guy, you know, so that it's just awkward. Yeah. I'm like the old dumb dude everywhere I go for a little bit. And then, you know, after a while, like you start getting it, you start understanding, you start feeling confident, you start trying different things. And I got to that point and, you know, then that's when things kind of started to take off for me as a writer.
And that's good because, you know, that's something that I'm currently going through. And again, I think this is why, you know, we connected even on, you know, social media, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because the 9-to-5 aspect, you know, I have two kids. So having two kids, a 9-to-5 and still chasing a dream, you know, and keep chasing that dream. Do you, you know, kind of give your upbringing, you want to talk a little bit about that coming up from California? Do you kind of give that determination to your upbringing, how you grew up, or where do you feel like you got that willpower to say, you know what, I know I'm this age, but I'm gonna keep pushing to it? Where did you get it from?
You hit it on the nose. It's definitely the upbringing. I grew up, it was just me and my brother, and you know, I was fortunate enough to have both parents in the household. My dad worked 25 years for it's probably more than that. It's probably 25 plus years for a company called Dow Chemical that shut down now, but they do Ziploc bags and all that stuff or whatever. So he worked that, and I remember as a kid, he you know, he worked swing shifts, he worked graveyard, and you know,
getting to it.
Always. He's always gone, and my mom, she held down the house, you know, while he is gone and working. And that was, you know, majority of my life. But meanwhile, my dad was able to, he is a baseball guy. And that's why I should have kept playing baseball, but baseball just wasn't.
He was cold? You know,
it's just not the cool thing. But nah, it was nice, man. Nice. I got invited to the Little League World Series and stuff. We couldn't afford it. It was expensive as heck.
Right.
In Hawaii. But I was nice. I made the varsity team as a freshman or whatever, but I fell in love with football. And you know, I went that route. I played 3 years varsity there. I was a solid athlete. But just seeing my dad, both of my parents, seeing how, you know, even though my mom, she had jobs at times, but most of the time she's a stay-at-home wife. But I seen how much work that she had to put into just taking care of me and Chris and dealing with us being knuckleheads and things like that. And my dad, you know, having to go to work 12, 14 hours and then come home and, you know, be the enforcer and, you know, and show us love at the same time and spend time with us. And I never seen them complain. And right. we grew up in church as well. So not only is he going to work all day, all night, whatever the case may be, we going to church. Let me see, we going Wednesday for Bible study, Thursday choir practice.
I know that routine.
Sunday morning, you know, Sunday school and church. Come back Sunday night.
Man.
We lived at the church.
Yes, sir. I know that routine, bro. I know that. Hey, my granny had me at the same rotation Monday. Same rotation. Look, don't let it have no plays in church. Oh, man, God. It's something else.
Like, that was literally the second home, bro.
Yes, sir.
So I seen them, you know, raise us and, you know, provide for us, you know, the best they could. And like I said, they never complain. I never seen them ask anybody for help or whatever. They just figured it out. And I'm sure me and Chris were both, you know, tough kids to deal with. And they did it, you know, with a smile. And so I, you know, as an adult, you know, I've ran into my problems and issues with just surviving. You know, everything is expensive nowadays, and and I've always had to, you know, to work to get to where I want to be. I was never really given, you know, anything as far as, like, you know, things have just happened. Like, people think my journalism career just happened because I know Chris, but that wasn't the case.
Right.
You know, but you know, it's never put, I've never been in a situation to where, because I see my parents in so many situations, that I never felt like I had to, you know, complain. It was more so just get the job done one day at a time and just keep it moving. And both my parents there, my mom's 69, my dad's 72, you know, and they're
talking
about. Good health, still kicking, still, you know, we talk every day. And, you know, they're inspiration to me to, you know, when I get that age, I still want to be like them. I still look up to them, you know, even as an adult. And that's kind of what keeps me going.
And that's, you know, totally, totally respectable and totally, you know, noted, bro, because I've been through the similar things, you know, God rest my mother's soul. Seeing her, you know, work hard, struggle, and you seeing it as a kid, you know, you don't really notice it, but you seeing it as a kid, it gives you that certain willpower. And you know, I see it, bro. I see how you taking the steps, you taking the next level steps, you know what I mean? You go get there, and like I said, I've been noticing it for the longest time. But let me ask you this. Working with, you know, Sideline Sources, Clutch, and SAC, Observer, and many other, you know, jobs that you had, which one was the best and which one did you feel like was like, man, I don't know, it kind of taught me something here?
That's a good question. They've all had their own like special place with me, and you know, they're all very different. You know what I'm saying? They're really different. And you know, I always thought, you know, like Clutch gave me the first start. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They gave me my start in the business, which, you know, I'll always be, you know, appreciative of them. And after I let, you know, after Clutch, Sideline was dope because they're black owned.
Okay.
So it was like real cool. And the guy, Gabriel, and they're actually.
And see, I ain't trying to cut you up. I didn't know that until you said it. I seen it on your story on Instagram, and I was like, black owned. I'm like, damn, I ain't know that.
Yeah, it threw me off, and like, you know, they got a huge following or whatever, and they're, you know, building their thing up over there, and that was something that was really, you know, intriguing to me or whatever to work with them, and I, you know, they taught me a lot. Like Clutch Point showed me like the foundation of writing and structuring of articles and things like that, and then when I worked with Sideline, they taught me more of, like, that's when I learned about SEOs and things like that, and keywords and the different stuff that makes your article pop up on certain algorithms and Google and stuff like that. And so that was cool. And it opened me up with them. I was able to write about the entire NBA. So I wasn't limited to, you know, one team. So I enjoyed that. And then the Sacramento Observer, this is my first, and it's no slight to, you know, anybody else I worked with, but this was my first official publication working with, as far as like the year I, you know, I started working with them, they were in the process of winning, which they ended up winning, best owned black newspaper in America. In the country.
That's, man, congrats to y'all, bro. That's dope. Yeah. That's dope as shit.
So the prestige and the his history, they've been around 60 years, and you know, Larry Lee, who's the publisher over there, over here at Sac Observer. And it was just like, you know, with them, the more and more I work with them and I, you know, I learn from them, they stretch me out as a journalist. Like, I don't do, like here in Sacramento, I don't do just sports. I'm mainly sports, but it's not really ever about the game. It's not about the Kings winning or losing, whatever. I'm able to tell stories. And this is something I've never been able to, you know, really work at doing. But I tell stories, whether it's local. You know, we had you know, a local gymnast here. We had, you know, different.
So you really get in. You really get into like news writing and news, you know, sourcing.
Yeah, yeah, and I felt like all this time too, I felt like this was the part of my resume that I was missing. You know, I was missing the storytelling. Like who can't write about what happened in last night's game? You know, anybody. Right. You put a quote, but to tell a good story or whatever is a little different. It takes more time. The interview process is longer. You got sometimes it's days or whatever. And the structure is completely different because it's long formed and things like that. So it's been a super honor to work with the Sacramento Observer and see, you know, be a part of their history. They came out with a like a pamphlet of, you know, for celebrating the 60, I think it's 60 or 65 years of business. Mm-hmm. And it had pictures of Muhammad Ali when
that's dope.
Sacramento and all kind of legends, Willie Mays, like all kind of people that, you know, they've took pictures of or interviewed, whatever. And on the cover, I have a picture on there.
Okay.
And it's not just me, but it's the whole Observer team. And like when I seen myself there, I was like, wow, this is special. This is special just to even be included into something that Muhammad Ali is a part of, Martin Luther King, you know what I'm saying?
So, legends.
Yeah, legends. And I'm just there. I'm just, you know what I mean, this dude from Fresno who like I said, I'm like an old rookie or whatever, but you know, I'm here. And you know, they've been a huge motivation to me at this stage in my life to, you know, continue to figure out, you know, how do I become one of those legends.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, C-Dub, and I just wanted to give y'all a heads up. This next part of the podcast, it will have some technical difficulties. It'll be hard of hearing on some parts, but keep plugging through. It's not that bad. I want to say I appreciate y'all for tuning in, for listening to the podcast, and doing all those things. Now, me and Mark Haynes, we'll be coming out with a part two, where we'll be talking all things basketball and a lot of more stuff. So make sure y'all keep watching, plug in, and follow me on my socials, man. You know, IG, Instagram, at CDub underscore. So it's spelled at CWUBB underscore. And you can follow my Facebook page at CDub. CWUBB, no underscore on Facebook, and the Facebook page Opinionated Facts, just like the name of the podcast. Also, make sure you guys follow Mark Haynes on Instagram and tune into his Three in the Paint podcast, where he already told me to talk to Keegan Murray's father, and that episode is out now. This episode was pre-recorded on March 24th, so some things we talked about are outdated, like the Orlando Magic. They have us, but they did take the Cavs to 7. Just keep plugging in, man, and we want to thank you and say welcome to Opinionated Facts.
Yo, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right, sorry about that.
Nah, it's all
little technical good. Difficulties.
It's all good, bro. Happened to me before plenty of times.
Yeah, man, it's supposed to be good technology. It ain't so good, huh?
Right, yeah. Nah, it happened. I remember it was my probably, I don't remember if it was my first player interview, but it wasn't because DeMar Johnson. But Greg Oden, it happened with me like 3 times. We had to even like, matter of fact, we couldn't even finish it. And then he said he was in L.A. like a month later, so we just went and met him in L.A.
Yeah, that'd be the thing. That's what I want to, you know, possibly get to the next level is just meeting up with people and like, all right, look, let's just do this in person. Let's just get us some cameras up in here, or we can go to like a podcast, you know, studio, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Something like that. So that's the next level for me, bro. That's what I'm aiming for next.
It's coming, man. It's coming.
Yeah, most definitely. But back to the, you know, Sac Observer. You know, you say you was on pictures with, you know, Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King, with some legends. You know, touch bases about that.
Got you. So, yeah, like I said, I'm on this, you know, magazine brochure of a celebration for the Sacramento Observer and all the years of service. And I'm on my picture is up there with, you know, Martin Luther King and Muhammad Ali and just, you know, historic, you know, black figures in our country. And you know, it was just an honor and eye opener for me to even just be a part of that. I've never met any of them or whatever, but just to, you know, I can always say that I had a picture in a you know, pamphlet with them guys or whatever, whatnot. And it kind of, you know, it inspired me to figure out how to keep pushing to the next level. How do I make an impact in this world and be a, you know, impact to my community and people surrounding me, especially black people that, you know, that come from a similar background, you know, as me. It inspired me to, you know, keep this thing going and try to get as far, you know, far in the business as I can and see where everything takes me and, you know, how I can help others.
And see, that's the beauty thing about, you know, helping your community or even working with an all black, you know, businessman or company. It's like, that's something, you know, I strive for. Like, okay, I want to work for something that's, you know, not, and no offense to any, you know, other company guys, you know, right, any other race or anything like that. But it does feel a little bit better to, you know, work with people that look like you and that's striving for the same things that you are striving for. So that's really dope that you do those things. But I got a question for you right here. So you didn't tell us or tell me which one was the worst one though. And I ain't trying to make you like, I ain't trying to make you like not kill nobody or nothing like that. But you know what I'm saying? You know, which one was the one you was like, you know what? I'm happy I worked for y'all, because I have companies I work for. You know what? I learned a lot from y'all. You know, you gave me so many skills, but if I could really run away sooner, I would have been ran away from that shit. Which one is like that? Which one do you feel kind of like, about?
Well, I'll say this. I can't say I didn't dislike any of them. You know, I have to humbly not give a straight answer there.
I get it.
But I would say, like, with so, all right, I'll say it like this. With Clutch Points, literally, you know, and I love those dudes over there. They all cool people, but they all were significantly younger than me.
Right.
So they all, like, and I was, you know, like I said, I'm just getting into, you know, the business of writing and what things are supposed to look like. And there are a lot of people that, you know, at times, even though I think Clutch Points was kind of ahead of their time with, you know, with the memes.
They were.
You know what I'm saying? So now you're seeing, you know, Bleacher Report and other, you know, major companies doing the same thing, posting memes and, you know, content like that. So, but at that time, I just kind of, you know, felt like, you know, maybe I might be too old for this right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, some of the, like, we would, which was dope. They let me approve of, like, which memes to use on, like, or graphics, I should say, or whatever, for, like, articles and stuff. And I remember they gave me, like, that was the great thing about Clutch. They gave me a lot of freedom to control stuff that I was seeing. I could tell, like, the graphic designer, like, hey, no, don't put that. You know, that's not cool or whatever. Take this off or put this or whatever, whatnot. And I know we, like, how I would submit, like, graphics, like, I have to tell them what to put on it. And I would get a lot of, you know, feedback from everybody from Clutch, like, that's too boring. It's not going to work. It's too boring. So it's just, I guess the fit wasn't always perfect, but that's where I got my start. And, you know, and they helped me grow a whole lot and get my name out there. And, you know, I appreciate them, but yeah, I guess I have to say them, but it's not, since you're making me answer, but it's not that I dislike, you know, any of them.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How you get your start with the Sacramento Kings?
So the Kings, so when I started working with Sideline, they approved me for, so it's the same process, send in the email, you know, request the 10 games, and they approved me for a game by game credential, which basically just whenever they say they got room for you, they'll let you in. And the PR, they probably let me in to, I noticed the pace and how it was happening. Anytime it was like a really bad team in town, you know, like when Houston was really bad or like Wizards or whatever, I could get to those games.
They'll right.
If the Lakers there, I would get that rejection email real quick. I'm getting it quick. So, you know, it started that, And then in the midst of working for Sideline, right before the playoffs last year, Mark Spears over at ESPN, you know, he hit me out of nowhere, and I'm in my delivery truck. I remember
Mark Spears is dope.
Yeah, dope dude. Cool, down to earth. You know, love Spears. But he called me and was like, "Hey, you know, have you heard of the Sacramento Observer?" And then I was like, "Yeah, I know. You know, I've seen him around or whatever." And he was like, "They looking for a Kings writer." And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, he's like, I'm a refer him to you, and you should get a call. Just, you know, I know you could do the job. Just do your thing, blah blah blah.
Right.
So then they called me and, you know, put me on like 3 assignments, and you know, I knocked out those 3 assignments, and then they you know, had me covering the Kings. And when I started covering the Kings with Sacramento Observer, my credential changed. I got an upgrade. So then I got the everyday credential, so I could come to every game.
Okay.
The only limit I couldn't do last year was I couldn't be like on the court before or after the game. And then this year, after, you know, finishing the playoffs, covering them throughout the summer and things like that, and building relationships with players and things like that. This year they upgraded my credential to, I could be on the court and stuff. I could go in the locker room. I could do more things now. So that's kind of how that kind of blossomed.
So that's pretty dope in hearing like how you went from step by step. You know what I'm saying? Because most people, you know, I try to tell, you know, some, they call me a unk now. I'll be like, man, I'm only 30. Like, I literally just turned 34, bro. Yeah. I ain't know how am I an unk, man. I look younger than some of y'all. How am I the uncle? But it's like, I try to tell some of the young guys, like, hey, it's a process to everything. Like, and just to hear your story and hear how you went step by step by step by step, you know what I mean? You continuously going up those steps, you know, it shows people like, hey, it's not, some people like, yeah, some people it do happen overnight, you know, granted, but the majority, you know, hey, it's a step-by-step process. So it's pretty dope in seeing you do that. So I wanted to ask you this. What is the outlook for your career? Like, what's some new things you got going on? I know you got the new podcast, 3 in the Paint podcast, which, by the way, is doing pretty, pretty damn good, bro. I listened to a couple episodes. Matter of fact, I just listened to the last episode, you know, when y'all was talking about this DeMontis Sabonis and Draymond Green one. So that was pretty funny. But what is some more things you got going on, you know, for your career at this point?
Yeah, nah, man, I appreciate the love or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
But now with the pod, the podcast, we're going to start getting into bringing some guests on. It got something in the works for a few players. So we're going to try to really, you know, make that thing take off. And as far as you can still, you know, I'm still writing with the Observer covering the Kings. I have a couple of articles that'll be coming out with them pretty soon. But it's just, man, like everything I'm doing, I'm just trying to grow. I'm trying to, you know, do more of. I'm in a position now to where I can focus in more on the business side of things, and you know, that's basically the focus. I wouldn't say that I have anything that's changing coming up, but it's more of, you're just going to get more of it. You know, it's going to be more articles. It's going to be more content, you know, more inside scoops or whatever. And, you know, and try to head off into the summer, end this season with a bang.
That's what's up. Look, speaking of inside scoops, where the hell you be getting your sources from, bro? Like, a lot of fans, like, I'm a real fan. Like, yeah. I, you know, when coming into these conversations, I don't never say interviews. I say conversations, man, because I feel like, you know, it's better when you having those just, you know, friend to friend, bro to bro type of conversations.
Definitely.
Where you get your sources from? Bro to bro conversation.
Yeah, man, it comes from, like, it comes from all over. It's random, bro. Like, really just, it's all like this business, like, sure, you got to know how to write. You got to know how to have conversation. That's it's great that you said that, like having conversations. That's how you end up with sources. That's how you end up with relationships, by having conversations. A lot of, you know, even veteran journalists, a lot of guys, they'll, if they see, you know, if De'Aaron Fox happened to walk by right now, a lot of guys will see him and say, oh, there's no security around him. There's no PR. Let me ask him if I could interview him real quick. Ask him a few questions. I see him right now. I go say, what's up? What's happening? What you doing out here? Like, we go,
right.
I'll chit chat. Like, what you doing in this side of town? Blah, 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 whatever. But I'm not going to ask you about an interview just because I bump into you. Because at the end of the day, they're just people.
Right. And they're humans.
Yeah. They respect the people that treat them like humans. We don't treat them like, it's not a video game. It's not a, you know, some cyber world where they're robots and don't have feelings or emotions. Like, they like to, you know, a lot of the guys, like, as you see, and, you know, in my, when I do like post game interviews and I ask questions or whatever, a lot of times I joke around with the guys. Like, I say something that might make them laugh, but, you know, we talking basketball, like you said, bro to bro. And that goes with, even with agents. When you meet these guys, agents, you just talk to them. Like, I've met Rich Paul, I know Aaron Goodwin, who's Lillard's agent, and you know, I'm Justin Haynes with no relation, but he's a white dude too. I was like, but we jump around. I was like, that's my white cousin. Okay. But you just have fun. Do Love Greer, which is Mo Bamba's agent, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, first time I met him, we were in Vegas, and we went to this little shop and ate some cheesecake or whatever. And just hanging out, kicking it. It's never really about, you know, getting an interview. And then, like you say, in conversations, you know, they may drop you a nugget. They may say, oh yeah, by the way, Malik Monk, because I'm good with his agent, which is his brother, Marcus Monk. He may say, Malik is throwing out the first pitch at this baseball game or something. Boom. Now I have news, you know, now I have something that nobody else knows, because just in having conversation with people, they throw you something. Oh, yeah, right. We're actually going here to sign a deal with blah, blah, blah. Or this team called to try to negotiate a contract over the summer, or, you know, whatever. And after a while, once you built those relationships, then it could turn more into, all right, Keegan Murray he's hurt, but he's about to return. Let me call his people and say, hey, do you know if Keegan's playing today? Then they may say it, because we already have just a relationship. But it's all, that's all it's about, man. So like the scoops, the inside, you know, stuff that I get, sometimes it comes directly from a player. Sometimes it's an agent, sometimes it's a family member, but I always make sure it's somebody that's a trusted source, that, because you got a lot of guys that just for the sake of headlines, they'll, you know, tell you anything and you don't follow up, and now you done put out some BS out there.
And I was going to ask you about that. Have you ever had bogus sources? Like people that you just be like, come on, bro. Like, you know, that ain't happening. And they vouch for it.
So I've been very, very careful with like what I put out, but I have had people give me things that I'm just like, man, I don't know if I can really roll with that, bro. Like, that's wild. Like, and sometimes I'm absolutely wrong and I should have put it out, you know, but it's, you gotta, I don't want to be one of those reporters, especially being, you know, new to the business. I don't want to be one of those guys that is known for putting out false information. So I'd rather make sure I'm 100% right, or close to 100% right as possible, instead of running with a maybe, because you know, it could definitely damage your reputation. Like, there's a lot of guys in the media that, you know, people look at as jokes, you know.
Right.
And I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, most definitely. And like, whenever I get to that part, I definitely don't want to be looking like a goofy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just like them, you know, I respect them as humans. I want to be respected as a human. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we both got jobs and, you know, my job is, you know, to cover you. And, you know, I just want to be respected in doing so. And so with talking about that and talking about basketball, let me ask you this. Let's get in some basketball talk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, that's what you do. That's what I love doing. So let's get into some. NBA playoffs, what is a surprise team that you got coming in that people ain't really looking for?
That's a great question. Great topic. And thinking about this. Has quietly a really, really good team. Like, we all talk about Paolo Banchero or whatever. We know how good he is, but the rest of them guys, Franz Wagner, his brother Mo Wagner, Suggs, Cole, they're all, and they're what? I think they're fourth. I'm not looking at the standings, but I think they're fourth in the East.
And, I think so. They're like fourth or fifth.
Yeah, they're a really good team. Wendell Carter Jr. Like, they really can sneak in and make some noise in the East. They could upset some teams. I think they're better than their record is, if I'm being honest. But I didn't see it coming. I didn't even realize it till probably about halfway through the season. I was like, wow, Orlando is actually good.
they're tough out there.
I felt they'd be good in the future, but I didn't see it. So right now, I didn't see it.
And Paolo, he's definitely, like, I know a lot of coverage because they're Orlando, you know, it's not a big market team. I get it. I understand it. But what he's doing out there, nobody really bigs him up as one of the young players like an Anthony Edwards or like, you know, some of these other young players. And he's doing, if not, I'm not saying he's better than them, but he's doing a goddamn good job over there.
Right. Nah, exactly. Like, nah, he's really the truth. He's really the truth, and he deserves more love. And I think, you know, the playoffs, it could be his stage to, you know, steal that love, steal that spotlight. And same, like, they're really good over there. Like,
they are.
Talk about, and I love, you know, OKC in the West or whatever, a bunch of young guns, and they kind of, I feel like they kind of steal the show for the spotlight from Orlando or whatever, because they number one in the West right now. They got some young dudes that could play, but they're very similar, Orlando and OKC, as far as, like, they got a lot of size and length. They got a lot of guys who can handle the ball, a lot of guys who can shoot. You know, they play defense or whatever, and they're young.
Right.
But, those are probably the two teams. I knew it the same with OKC. I thought they'd be good, but I didn't think they'd be this good this fast.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. They surprising people, and they doing it with injuries. Like, Wendell Carter been out, Jonathan Isaac been out, and they still just been rolling, you know what I'm saying? So speaking of, let's keep it rolling about the NBA. I forgot to ask you this, and I wanted to ask you this. Working with NBA players, who is the easiest to interview and who is the hardest you had to interview? Like, he ain't never really – he always kind of gave you, like, you know, the cold shoulder, you know. Just not saying he was an asshole. He just was like, I don't really want to talk to you type vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, the hardest interview, it is, he's a good dude. And we cool, too, or whatever. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, Naz Reid. Yeah. The only reason it was like a tough interview is because he's a quiet person. Like, he's not really, you know, he's not really a big talker. And so, like, I had him on my podcast, Minutes with Mark, and it's like, you know, it was like 10 minutes. So it's kind of like fast paced, and I kind of be depending on.
It's crazy. I was going to ask you about Minutes with Mark. Was you going to bring it back? I'm glad you brought that up.
I've been thinking about it. I got to see how it fits, in, you know, scheduling wise or whatever, how I could do it. But he's a quiet person. So I usually depend on, you know, the player to kind of rant or go into like some long story, so it kills time a little bit. But he was just straight up. He was just like, hey, man, I remember I asked him about, I said, do he, because he can shoot the three. I noticed that he was a rookie. And I was like, do you like, would you prefer, do you like hitting, you know, making threes or like a poster slam dunking on somebody? And then he was just like, I like, you know, I like shooting threes better because it's more points. And then that was just it.
He had no backstory to it.
Yeah, I was like, man, come on. So I ended up talking and like he you know, I mean, he gave me some cool stuff, but it was just, you know, he's a quiet person. It's just hard to get him to talk or whatever. But it wasn't he was hurt or anything like that. But the easiest, I feel like. Most of the guys, Steph is super cool. Draymond, they're all very easy to talk to. You can joke around with them. I think the guys kind of started to, when they start to understand my personality and my delivery and stuff, they kind of expect me to say something, you know, off the wall or. At, you know, or I may surprise them with something really in depth about basketball. So they kind of, you know, they kind of listen to me in a different way, I feel, than other reporters. Keegan Murray is fun because he's like Nas. Keegan doesn't really, you know, he's not a big talker, you know, not big personality, but, you know, I always try to, you know, get something out of him and he kind of, I feel like he expects it or whatever, whatnot, but.
Has him and his brother ever fooled you into thinking one was the other?
You know, and it's like I haven't seen together before yet, like at the same time. When they came here, I don't know what I was doing. I think I might have been talking to an agent or something, and I never went back there. But I talked to his dad. I talked to their dad, Kenyon Murray. Who actually? No, that's a little, you know, heads up. We are getting his dad on our podcast.
Oh, that's dope.
For the last game, Kings and Blazers play, so he'll be on the show.
That's dope.
Yeah, real cool. He'll tell me. He tells me little things about them, like if they was trash talking or, you know, whatever, and. Think Chris was normally the bigger one, so you can tell the difference, you know. Chris looks like the rookie, and he looks like the
second year guy.
So now they haven't, and I like they're so. I know Keegan. He told Chris recently for All Star. He said he was in walking through the airport, and everybody was stopping him. Like, oh, you Keegan Murray? He's like, no, I'm not Keegan. I'm Chris. And so, and Keegan's the more popular one. So, you know, they will pull it on you if they can, probably especially Keegan. Keegan likes to be, you know, low key. He try to go under the radar, but people love him. But everybody's pretty cool. Everybody's pretty cool. I haven't had many bad encounters. LeBron's super cool. Like, all the superstars are pretty cool.
That's good. Let me ask you a couple more questions, man. Then, you know, we can go on our day, bro. So let me ask you this. Who is your favorite NBA player and why?
So my favorite player of all time is LeBron James.
But, okay.
My current favorite player, like once you get into the business, like I'm still a huge LeBron fan or whatever, but it's like I don't like being in the business now. It's like I don't cheer for him. It's more like I wish him the best, you know, and I want to see him be successful. But then there's guys that I have personal relationships with that I like them because I like them as a person. So you know, guys like Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy is my dog or whatever with the New Orleans Pelicans. I would say, like, he's one of my favorite players or whatever. Jalen Williams of OKC or whatever.
Yeah, he seemed real cool.
Yeah, solid dudes. It's a lot of guys like that to where, like, my personal connection makes me, you'll catch me cheering for them probably publicly before I cheer for LeBron, even though LeBron is my favorite player of all time or whatever, but I just have a closer relationship with other people.
So let me see. Look, your favorite player, LeBron, everybody is, they all, you know, always arguing about LeBron, MJ. Mm-hmm. So is he your GOAT? And I'll tell you right now, with me, I've been saying, you know, and I know a lot of people say that, there's a lot of fans, but I've been saying this for years. Now it's popular, but I have been saying, like, I always believed in era GOATs. So, like, to me, I always had a favorite player or, like, this is the guy mm-hmm. I would take yeah. to build a team, but I always believed in era GOATs. And everybody yeah. used to clown me, call me crazy, stupid, but now everybody be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, but who is he your GOAT? Do you even indulge into the GOAT talk, or how do you look at it? What's your outlook about it?
So how I play around with it. I joke on my pod, I joke with people in real life about it or whatever. But my personal opinion is the correct answer is there's era GOATs. That's the correct answer. Mm-hmm. But I think LeBron is the best basketball player to touch a ball, right?
Okay.
But let's say you say Michael Jordan is. Mm-hmm. I understand how you can say that. You know, I don't really think it's like night.
So you don't shit on yeah, either no, or. Right.
And if I argue with you, I'm arguing with you for fun. Like, right. But I think the truth of it is, like, they're 1A, 1B. Which one is 1A, 1B is, you know, up to who you
it's
like.
It's your perception. Yep.
Yeah. That's it. Yep. You know, I could come up with a compelling, you know, argument of why I say LeBron or whatever, and I could also come up with an argument for Jordan. You know, so it's I think it's them two, you know, and then there's everybody else. I do believe that. But if I had to pick one, I roll with LeBron. If we had to pick, you know, to start a team, you know, I think it's easier to build a team around LeBron or whatever.
Okay.
Than Jordan.
And I can see that. I can see that because he makes the game easier for everybody around him. And I know a lot of people, you know, me personally, I'm a huge Kobe fan. So, like, Kobe, MJ, I'm those type of players fans, but just like you, I don't shit on LeBron greatness. We've seen what he can do with yeah. the type of players he played with. Not saying he hasn't played with great players, he has, right. but, right. you know, right. when he joins a team, that team becomes his team. You feel me?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I could definitely see why people call him the GOAT, and the accomplishments he had is yeah. it's crazy. I get it.
And then skill, like you said, with Kobe or whatever, Kobe is somebody – I guess a quick side story or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, before Kobe passed, I was supposed to meet him the weekend before.
Mm.
And I wasn't a Kobe Bryant as a fan. I wasn't a Kobe Bryant fan. Like, Kobe always was, you know, I didn't want him winning. He was so great. He was an amazing player. So he was the player I hated all his career until he retired or whatever. And I started looking at him as a person. But I was supposed to go to the Mamba Academy the weekend before he passed. And I was going to go with, he's a basketball trainer named Irv Rowland, who used to train Kobe, James Harden, stuff like that. And he invited us, but I knew I was going back the next weekend. And I was like, you know, I'm going to skip this weekend, but I'll be here next weekend. And that was the weekend the crash happened.
Mm,
and I never
damn.
Got a big, that was a big regret. I never got a chance to
damn.
Because like when he retired and I stopped looking at him as like the assassin and Black Mamba that he was, I was like, dang, I'm pretty sure if I met Kobe, I would like him.
Right.
You know, I would like him. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to do that. But I do think, Kobe, when you look at Kobe, Jordan, and LeBron, I think Kobe is the most skilled out of all three of them.
Mm-hmm. It's been a big argument. Is he the most skilled ever?
I would say that.
Because a lot of people been saying Kyrie, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm going to say. It's Kyrie just being 6 foot.
It's crazy.
You know, he's not 6 foot. He's taller than that. But being small and being able to do what he do with both hands and
it's crazy.
Like, but he was, like, this is what people don't understand about Jordan. Like, all right, let me tell you. I say Jordan and LeBron, I probably get in trouble for this, but whatever. Jordan and LeBron are my 1A, 1B, right? Mm-hmm. But I think if you take Kobe in his prime, LeBron in his prime, they're both better than Michael Jordan.
A lot of my friends go like you, bro. They're going to be clapping. I told you. That's close.
My thing is, because, like, it's not, like, I don't ever want to take away from, you know, legends of the past. Like, Magic Johnson, you know, we consider him the greatest point guard ever.
Right.
You got the dude, shout out to the dude who be like, we done with the 80s, done with the 80s. You know, the game was just different. They didn't have Euro stepping in. Not to say they didn't need it then.
Yeah.
You know, but guys now just can do more. And that's what I mean by, like, prime Kobe, prime LeBron is just a physically better player than Jordan. But if you put Jordan in this era, he would be able to do the same thing.
Would he average 50? Like a lot of, you know, past NBA players say, like Ron Artest said he'll average 50. A couple people said that.
I don't care what none of them do say. That's not, you know, I think he would do about, I think he'll be the best. I think he'll be, you know, 1A, 1B in the air, but I don't think he just goes to start scoring 50 and 60. Like, come on, bro. But, you know, the game is evolving.
This is
Opinionated Facts.